God,
the Word of God
is
the answer.
Now say this, the Word of God,
the Word of God
is my answer.
My answer.
Now turn to your neighbor, look at somebody, say, the Word of God,
the Word of God is
your answer.
Your answer.
Okay, now, here's what I've been talking about. I began a series a few weeks ago entitled The Unhealthy and Impoverished Soul. This is our fourth lesson, and the theme of this series is emotionally unhealthy people. Just come on in, sit, let them sit wherever they want. They can come up here, they can come in front, doesn't bother me at all. Thank you for coming. We're talking about emotionally unhealthy people, and unfortunately, there are emotionally unhealthy people in the church, but we cannot build a strong church of people that are not whole. Now listen carefully at this. In the same way that a person can be unhealthy physically in their bodies, they can be unhealthy emotionally in their souls. But Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be whole. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement or the punishment necessary for us to have peace, the punishment necessary for us to have wholeness in our souls was placed on him. So Jesus has paid the price for us. Now we're talking about spiritual viruses, things that attack our soul, things that wound us, things that break us in our emotional area. We've talked about anger. We've talked about bitterness. We've talked about rejection, and tonight we're going to talk about the two unholy twins. We're going to talk about jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy. Bob Swartz says that envy is the most common problem that nobody has. It is the most common problem that nobody has. R.T. Kendall describes jealousy as the sin that no one talks about. Jealousy, the sin that no one talks about. Now, I'm calling them the unholy twins, jealousy and envy. Now, here's what I want you to do. Put your hand up here on the ear. Put your hand up here on your ear. On one ear, I want you to be listening at the word for you. Personally, every time you come to church, I'm going to be sharing something, and my son and I are going to be team teaching when we start the church. We're going to always be sharing something that's intended to bless you, to help you. You should have a vision, a dream, or a goal, an ambition, something that God has put in your heart that you want to accomplish in your personal life. But we're going to be a family. We're going to be a church. So you have to put your hand on the other ear. Put your hand on the other ear. So you have to always listen to the word in terms of a corporate setting, because there are things that we want to do corporately. We want to reach the world together, but we can't reach the world together if we're unhealthy. We won't love people if we are unhealthy. People will be coming here and we'll push them away if we're not healthy. So we want a church that's healthy. I want you to listen out of both of your ears. Now I want you to listen for you and guard your heart. Okay, and if you hear something, well, you know, I need some wholeness. I was teaching on rejection at our noon Bible study in Birmingham, and I had several people say, you know, I asked them to close their eyes and raise their hand, and hands went up all over where people were dealing with rejection. Okay, so if you find out that you have some wholeness issues, it's all right. God has sent you the word because he wants you to be healthy. It's all right. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. Okay, so I want you to listen for you, but I want you to listen because I want you to be able to understand others in our relationships. Sometimes you're dealing with people, marriage or home issues or job issues, and you're dealing with people that are not healthy. When you understand it, you can be more patient, you can be long-suffering, you can forbear. So it's going to help you to be able to appreciate others. You ready to talk about it? Let's talk about jealousy first. Jealousy. I'm going to give you some definitions. They're going to put the definitions up on the monitor. And if you want to get ahead of me, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9. So what is jealousy? Jealousy is the fear of being displaced. It is the fear of being displaced. Now, I want you to be thinking about the body of Christ, too, Because we got some jealousy issues in the body of Christ. We got some envy issues in the body of Christ. So what is jealousy? Jealousy is the fear of being displaced. Secondly, jealousy is a feeling threatened by another person or thing. You're threatened by another person or thing. Listen at this. Jealousy is triggered by a third party. It's somebody else or something else. Triggered by a what kind of party? A third party. Now let's look at an example. I want you to look at Saul. Let's look at an example. Saul was hired by Saul hired David to be over his army. Let's see what happened. Let's see what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And let's look at verse 5 through 9. 1 Samuel 18, look at what it says. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted. Now listen carefully. The man that he appointed to put over his army, David, was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabret and with joy and with instruments of music. Next verse. And the women answered, oh, here's the problem. And the women answered one another as they played, and Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his what? Sounds like a comparisons there. Look at the next verse. And Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. Now listen at the next part of the verse. And what can he have more but the kingdom? We're talking about jealousy. Can you see it there? Can you see jealousy there? The fear of being displaced. Saul, the fear of being displaced. He's being threatened. He's the king, but he's being what? Threatened. Don't just think about David. Think about you. Think about you as a leader. Think about you as a husband. Think about you as parents. Think about you as church leaders. Think about you. He's afraid of being displaced. So a third party comes in. He had rulership over the people. The people were looking up to him. And David came on the scene, a third party. Jealousy has to do with being threatened by a third party. Years ago, before our church began to grow, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to be prepared for jealous spirits. So Faith Chapel Columbus, I said to you, you need to be prepared for jealous spirits. Mark that down. Write that down. Write that down somewhere. Just write that down. Make a note of it. Put a date on that. Put a date on that. You need to be prepared for what kind of spirits? Jealous spirits. Let's talk about envy. Envy, many times we use the word envy and jealousy interchangeably, but they are different, but they are unholy twins. Envy is feeling ill will. Notice that. It is feeling ill will toward those who possess the thing he or she wants. So I'm feeling ill will now toward others who possess what I want. They have financial well-being, I want it. They have an education, I want it. They're intelligent. I like their intelligence. I want it. They're gifted. I want it. They have status. I want it. They have success and achievement. I want it. I want the influence that they have. I even want to look like them. He's handsome. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. I want to look like them. Envy. Now let's look at an example of envy. Eliab, an example of envy. You know what? We're going to have a church and it's not going to have jealousy and envy in it. I said, we're going to have a church And it's not going to be full of folk who are jealous and envious. I said, we're going to have a church. And it's not going to have jealousy and envy. We're just going to love each other. We're going to celebrate each other. We're going to esteem each other.
Amen.
Okay, let's look at Eliab. Eliab was the oldest son of Jesse, who was David's father. Jesse had about 7 or 8 children, and the Spirit of God spoke to Samuel the prophet because he had rejected Saul from being king. And he said to Samuel, don't mourn about Saul anymore. I've selected a son of Jesse to be the next king. So he sends Samuel down to Jesse's house with the anointing oil to select the new king. Okay? And then Jesse brings all his boys out there. And naturally, he's going to bring the firstborn first, Eliab. Now, let's look at what the text says. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. It says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. That's what Samuel said. Now, watch what the Lord said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Now look carefully at this. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the what? But the Lord looketh at the
heart.
Now I want you to listen to this carefully. God saw something on the inside. A lot of times we look on the exterior people. We see talent, we see the ability to communicate, we see all these natural giftings, but God doesn't look just at that. God looks at the quality and the character of our hearts. And God saw something in Eliab that wasn't right. There was something not right in his heart. Now watch this, look at verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, I want you to look at this text a moment. Jesse brings all the boys out there, beginning with Eliab, all the brothers. No, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. Then he asks Jesse, do you have any other kids? I said, oh, we got this other little, you know, I got a little boy, he out there with the sheep, but you ain't really thinking about him. But I said, no, bring him. So David came in there skipping, you know, came on there. He's just a kid, he came in there skipping. He don't even know what's going on, man. He just out there with the Lord and over the sheep. And he came in, he didn't know what was going on. And Samuel said, he's the one. Something about him, he's the one. Now listen carefully. He poured the oil on him, the anointing oil on him. Look at what the text says, in the midst of his brethren. So they're sitting there looking at baby brother. How you going to be the king? He don't know nothing. That's what they're saying to each other. See, they ain't even, he ain't going to put him the king. You know, he ain't going to be the king, is he? I don't know nothing. He did it right in the middle of them. Okay. Fast forward. Israel's fighting against us, the Philistines. Giant stands out there. Goliath said, give me a man. In those days, they would pick one person from the nation to fight on behalf of the nation. So Goliath stand out there, give me a man. He's 10 feet tall. Give me a man. Give me a man. Standing out there. Everybody's scared. David came down there to bring some supplies to his brother. Said, hey, what's going on around here? And he said, hey. And he saw that guy stand out there terrorizing the nation. David said, hey, y'all not going to let him get away with this, are you? And then he went around and started asking, hey, what are they going to give the guy that just beat this guy? I said, well, they're going to give him the king's daughter. Going to pay off all this house taxes and all. David said, wow, that's good. And Eliab heard his little baby brother talking. We're talking about envy and jealousy. Look at what it says in verse 28. And Eliab, it's the same guy, his eldest brother heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Why? I mean, what's the deal? Why are you so hot? Why are you so upset? Why not just say, hey, baby, brother, you just don't need to be out here. Because soldiers out here. But why you get angry? I mean, what's the hostility? He got anger, killing against David, and he said, why did you come down here? Who do you lead the sheep with? I know your pride. I know you just came down here to see. You need to be with them sheep. You have no business down here. Okay, what's the deal? I mean, what's going on in his heart? What's the issue? Jealousy and envy. Jealousy is really envy. Why? Because he feels ill will toward what David now possesses is the anointing to be the next king. Envy. He wanted what David had. Let me ask you a question, precious people. Let me ask you a question. Do you want something that somebody else got? Now, you ain't got to raise your hand or nothing like that. Do you want something that somebody else got? Do you feel threatened by a third party? Let's talk about this. Let's get into this for a minute. Let's get into this. Let's look at some of the symptoms of jealousy and envy. What was the inner motive? Selfishness? Prideful ambition? Is it in the church? Absolutely. So why are you teaching us this? We hadn't even started the church. Because you can't build anything strong on this. The anointing can't flow in that kind of environment. We want a healthy church. People who just love people. No pride for ambition. Nobody trying to get ahead of nobody. Nobody pushing. We don't care who's saying, long as they do their thing. Amen. We know if we got a gift, it'll come forth. We trust in God. We're not pushing ourselves. Like this guy right here, he plays in our church. He's one of the most humble guys I've ever met. One of the most humble guys I've ever met. Love his wife, love his family. Always on Facebook with his wife and his family. Gifted. Folk know him all over the city. He just do his thing, man. And he's enjoying it. See, he's just enjoying this thing. He's not trying to get his name out there. He's not trying to do anything. Just love Jesus. Prideful ambition, impatience. So-and-so got a new something across the street from your house. You looking at the one right there. Dog, they got a new car. I mean, a new car? I think just got another car last year. Didn't they get a new car 3 years ago? All this kind of stuff run through families, siblings, brothers and sisters, jealous, envious of each other, impatience, a false view of God. Sometimes we think God is not fair. You know, not fair. Why she get to sing? I can sing too. Not fair. Fear. It's fear-based. A false image of ourselves. We just don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. Now, those are symptoms. You got a tree. Got it? You got fruit on the tree. Fruit on the tree, selfishness, prideful ambition, impatience, false view of God, fear, and false view of ourselves. Those are the fruits. But every tree has a root system. So what is the root system? What is the root system? Well, the root system is threefold. I give it to you, then I come back and explain it to you. The root system of jealousy and envy is a competitive mentality. Secondly, a comparisons mentality. And then third, a territorial mentality. Let's look at a competitive mentality. Here again, I'll give you the proof text. We don't have time to turn to it. But in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 11 through 12, Paul said to the church at Corinth, has been reported to me commonly that there is contentions among you. And some of you, church folk, spirit-filled folk, tongue-talking folk, Bible-toting folk, Bible-marking folk, it has been reported to me that there's contention among you. And some of you are saying, I am of Paul. And others are saying, but shoot, I'm following Peter because Peter's the rock. And then others are you saying, well, I'm an apostle. Nobody can teach like Apollos. Apollos is a teacher. Y'all, the rest of them are just preachers. I got a teacher. I'm a teacher. And he said, now, is Christ divided? Who saved you? All this kind of stuff runs in churches. We lift one pastor up above another pastor. My pastor, he's a prophet. He give us words. My pastor, he's a teacher, man. He can go through that word and all this kind of stuff. And all this kind of competitive stuff, a competitive mentality. People in the church have a competitive, this one trying to be better than this one. It's immaturity. It's immaturity. Strong churches that reach the world don't deal with that kind of immaturity. Because God can't use babies. We have to grow up. A comparison mentality. Comparison. Saul was doing fine till he heard what they said. He's slain 10,000 and me? 1,000? We're going to talk about comparison. One of the worst things in the church. It's the biggest sin Christians are committing. One of the biggest sins they commit in the church. Comparing folk, comparing churches, comparing this, comparing that. Comparisons, a comparisons mentality. Over in John chapter 21, verse 20-22. After he restored, feed my sheep, Jesus said, feed my lambs. Peter said, yeah, I'm going to feed the sheep, feed the lamb. And then he looked over at John and said, tell Jesus, hey, what you want him to do? Listen, this might more paraphrase. What's that to you? That's none of your business. You just follow me, Peter. Don't worry about what somebody tells somebody else. Preachers are notorious for it. It's unfortunate. We're notorious for criticizing other folk what they've been called to do. You don't know what somebody's been called to do. You'll never hear me stand in a pulpit and talk about other preachers and talk about other churches because I wasn't there when Jesus talked to them, called them. So get all that junk out of you. Get all that stuff out of you. Don't talk about preachers. Don't talk about churches. Don't talk about ministers. Get all that junk out of you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I'm a pastor already, and y'all ain't said yes. Some of y'all ain't said yes, and I'm acting like a pastor, okay? It just happens like that. It just happens like that. A territorial mentality. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 went into the country of Paphos, and there was a deputy, Sergius Paulus there, who wanted to hear the word, and Elymas, who was a sorcerer, the Bible says, withstood them. Territorial mentality runs all through Christians' experiences. We have our territory. We have our territory. You know, they didn't talk to me. They still in a church in Columbus. Didn't nobody talk to me. I'm like this. Listen, I want to meet with the pastors, okay? But I don't feel like if people come to Birmingham, they got to talk to me.
Okay.
Why talk to me?
Right.
Territorial. But it's in the church, too. Leaders are so territorial sometimes. We over our thing. We over our thing. And we territorial. And sometimes we push people away, good people, because we're insecure. And so we got our territory. We don't want good people to come in. And I got all kinds of great people around me, people that are smarter than I am. You don't have to be the smartest to lead. You just need to love people and care about people. Territorial mentality. You get anything out of this? Let's look quickly at the consequences of jealousy and envy. the consequences of jealousy and envy. It stunts your spiritual growth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. It says, and our brethren could not speak, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 3, and our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, couldn't talk to you as mature Christians. I had to deal with you as carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now, there are babes in Christ who are newborns, and then there are carnal babes who never grew up. He's saying y'all should be older now, but watch this. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you now able. Why, Paul? For you are carnal, whereas there's among you what?
Envy.
And what?
Strife.
And what?
Division.
And you are you not carnal? Watch this. And you walk as?
Amen.
That text literally means you're acting like natural men. You're acting like unsaved
right.
men. So jealousy and envy will stunt your spiritual growth. Then secondly, it will hinder revival. It will what?
Hinder revival.
It will hinder revival. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 43. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed who? Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now watch this. And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came out to Columbus. To Faith Chapel Columbus, I mean the whole city, to hear what?
The word of God.
The word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with?
Envy.
And spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They attacked the character of the person, and then they attacked the message.
Right. Wow.
It hinders revival. That's why, precious people, listen. Think about it for a moment. When you agree that the church, I ain't talking against anybody, I'm talking about us, me, us, the church. When you agree that we should be doing more,
yes.
When you agree that we should be influencing our communities and our states, why aren't we? Why does revival tarry? Because there's too much on the inside that's hindering the flow of the Spirit. Listen at these statements, and then I'm going to close by giving you some tips to overcoming it. Now look at this. Look at these next two statements. Any violation of biblical principles, instructions, or mandates creates laws for believers and the church. When believers and local churches violate 2 Corinthians 10:12, the body ends up working against itself. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, those who compare themselves among themselves and measure themselves by themselves are not wise. The Bible tells us that comparisons isn't wise, and yet we do it all the time. So whenever we violate a mandate from God, there's going to be loss. So let me close out and give you some tips, and then Naomi's going to come up here. Let me give you some tips. I think the cure for jealousy and envy is revelation. Is what?
Revelation.
What is it?
Revelation.
It's revelation. We have a revelation. I give you a revelation of seven things. Number one, a revelation that God is no respecter of persons. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 35. God is no respecter of persons, so there's no need to be jealous. Because if we work righteousness, he'll work in our lives. I'm not jealous of anybody. I don't have no jealousy in me because I believe that God will work on my behalf.
Amen.
If I trust him and obey him, if you trust him and obey him, he'll work on your behalf.
Amen.
Number two, you need a revelation that there's plenty.
Yes.
You know, I was raised an only child. So whenever my parents cooked the biscuits, I used to like that bread. They cook a pan of biscuits for them, my mom and my dad, and they cook one pan for me.
Okay.
And I had a whole pan. You know, them teenagers like to eat a lot. I eat all my biscuits, and I turn over there and get some of their biscuits because there was plenty. Now, some of you were raised in big families. You had to get the table quick. You had to get there quick because you don't know. You don't get there late, you may not get anything. And so what we do, we take that mentality over into the church.
Right.
We have a scarcity mentality, so we can't afford for anybody else to get blessed because that we got this pie mentality. If anybody get a piece of the pie, there's less pie for us. So we watching who getting a slice of that pie. So if too many folk get a slice of that pie, we getting all upset because we have a pie mentality. There's plenty. Come on, say there's plenty.
There's plenty.
He's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Number three, there's a place for you. Come on, say there's a place for me. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that God has set the members in the body, as every one of them, as it has pleased him. Guess what? You're in the body, and nobody can take your place. There's a place for you. Come on, say there's a place for me. Number three. Number three, there's a place for you. Number four, God loves diversity. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, he said, the Bible says that there are gifts differing. They're different. And see, as I mature, see, I appreciate what God has put in somebody else. Naomi is our campus pastor. Oh, she got energy. I like her energy. She don't even be trying to preach. They just kind of come out of her. You know, I'm kind of a little laid back and that kind of smooth. And she's fiery. I mean, you're fiery. Well, see, what happens when you grow and mature, you appreciate diversity. My son is going to be the principal teachers here. And when he stand in, see, he's going to be totally different than me because I am trained him to not be Mike Moore. He's Michael K. Moore. I'm Michael Douglas Moore. I told him, don't you ever try to be me. So when he steps in and minister, he's going to stand flat-footed and take the word, teach you the word, but it's going to be his way. It's going to be his way. And don't compare him to me. Don't compare me to him. That's immaturity. Got it? God loves diversity. Number five, an inclusive mentality is God's attitude. What kind of mentality?
Inclusive.
So every time people come, we're going to say, come on here. One of the things I like about Naomi, she wants everybody to get involved. That's why I'm trying to hurry up so she can show y'all how y'all can get involved. She wants everybody to get involved. An inclusive mentality. All of our leaders, over every function, you got to be inclusive. You got to have an inclusive mentality. Everybody, we want everybody to get involved. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 15, John said to Jesus, we saw somebody casting out devils, and we told them to stop. Because they were not following us. Jesus says, don't stop them. He said, those that are not against us is for us. But that's an inclusive mentality. Number six, your God-given uniqueness is your gift to humanity. I'm going to add something to that. Say that after me. My God,
given uniqueness
is my gift
to humanity.
Now listen, your unique God-given gift is your gift to humanity. Now watch this. Don't rob humanity by trying to be somebody else. Right. Number seven. Come on, Nate. If you want to overcome envy and jealousy, watch this. Choose to be inspired rather than intimidated. Being inspired is a better choice. Emory's former Pastor Steve Green in Birmingham, had one of the first mega churches in Birmingham. And so I'm over on the west side, I'm over in the country. And I'm over in the country struggling. People are staying away from my church by the thousands. You could put a bowling ball in each hand, throw it in any direction, not heal soul. Nobody's showing up, nobody. His pastor and his church, they taking the city. Every time I hear, more than conqueror faith church. Now, I can be intimidated, or I can be inspired. I chose to be inspired. I went to the church. I went to a service at the church, and cars were lined up everywhere. And folk had their Bibles, and they were going in church. And I sat in the church, and the worship was just as amazing. See, I'm watching. I'm getting inspiration. Because I believe this should be everywhere. I believe this should be everywhere. And then I set up an appointment. That's why I love Pastor Steve to this day. I set up an appointment and asked him questions. He don't even remember. I asked him questions, and he was so nice to me. Now he looks up to me, and I look up to him. So I could have chosen to be what? Intimidated and stand in my pulpit. You know something ain't right over there with them folk. Ain't nothing right about it. Yeah, something. Okay, or I can choose to be what? Choose to be inspired by other success. Don't get intimidated. I'm through.